The Parks case, this has been at the end of 2017. That was upheld by the Ninth Circuit. This gets into the whole question of what's educational. Application of the methodology test is not very much law on that one. Very curious ruling up at the top of page 15 before we get into the commerciality doctrine. What do you do when you have an exempt, well, it's not an exempt, what do you do when you have a nonprofit organization that engages in, say, three activities of equal size, each one of which, if you looked at it alone, would cause it to qualify for tax exemption under a particular provision, but if you mush all three together in one entity, can't qualify. I've not seen that before, but recent ruling came out on that point. Okay, I've set some space aside here about the commerciality doctrine. This is a doctrine that concerns me greatly, for what it's worth. I think it's a doctrine that probably ought to be abolished. I think it's kind of foolish, really, but again, we don't have time to spend a lot of effort on it, but I've given you the elements of commerciality from the case, the principal case on the issue, and then some examples of recent rulings from the IRS. Some of them are really quite extreme. For example, there's a ruling here that says that if an organization has a website, that's an evidence of commerciality. We've got a ruling coming up that just came out a couple of weeks ago where the IRS goes on and on about how wonderful it is about an organization using a website to further its educational purposes. So some of the folks in the IRS are a little bit confused on this point. And then the one that really shocked me when I first saw it is number five. Tax-exempt organizations should not duplicate services or facilities provided by commercial entities. We could spend the rest of our time together coming up with examples of how that, in fact, does happen. Private inurement, fair amount of rulings in the area of private inurement, as you can see from the top there. The IRS does spend a fair amount of time applying that doctrine and revoking exemption. There are a couple of items here that I want to call to your attention. First of all, there's a grievous mistake in number four. It says here that the IRS ruled that an individual was compensated on the basis of a percentage of an organization's revenue, and it should be with no cap, not with cap. The IRS ruled that since there wasn't a cap on the compensation, that was private inurement. That, by the way, is simply not the law. And then the last one there was where the president was said to have, by selecting the directors, said to have full and total control over the organization's activities. There are situations like that. That doesn't necessarily mean private inurement. It may mean poor governance, but it isn't necessarily private inurement. Private benefit doctrine, lots of rulings, as always, dealing with the private benefit doctrine. The IRS loves it. The IRS loves the commerciality doctrine. And frequently, these rulings will come out with both doctrines applied. For example, number 17 over on the next page here, we see these a lot. There's usually two or three or four a year where an organization is operating ostensibly as a charity, but in fact, it's operating primarily for the benefit of a particular individual or a family. Scholarship organization, providing scholarships only to family members and that kind of thing. In the area of legislation and political campaign activity, pretty quiet, frankly. I think the only item I want to call to your attention is number two there under lobbying. You know, we have the 501H expenditure test, and one of the things that test has within it, as you know, is the idea of related organizations, affiliated organizations. And organizations that are not under that test don't have that rule. And this is at least the second time this has happened that I'm aware of where there is a merger. And the merging entities, one is under the 501H election and the other isn't. And the lawyers who are overseeing the merger forget this rule. So the parties merge, and the next thing you know, the 501H election applies to the total entity, and the numbers play out to the detriment of the organization, and it's about to lose its exemption.